thanks for listening to the Adulting is Easy podcast, where we make adulting easier by making money easier. This is your host, Lauren, and joined today by Chris Helgeth, a 51-year-old entrepreneur whose journey from selling 10-cent single cigarettes led to a 30-year career transforming and supplying gas stations across Georgia. Despite facing setbacks like going broke and being a high school dropout, Chris rebuilt his life, achieving semi-retirement in 2016, and then he went back to work in 2019 after a three-year hiatus. Currently, he owns a successful fuel hauling company serving over 1,000 gas stations in Georgia. Beyond business, Chris celebrates 23 years of marriage and is a proud parent of three. His story is a testament to resilience, determination, and a relentless entrepreneurial spirit that fuels both his career and family life. Thanks for joining me, Chris.
Hey, Lauren. Thanks for having me. By the way, what a great voice. If you could just can that and figure out how to maybe put on AI, yeah, you could probably sell that for big money.
Yeah, it was podcast or late night radio.
Yeah. I love it. It's amazing.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Our goal for today is to make adulting easier for listeners by discussing a personal finance topic, since managing money is a big part of adulting. Today, Chris, we're going to talk about generally being a business owner.
Okay.
But I got to know, hey, on social media, Twitter especially, you're the gas biz guy. What makes you the gas biz guy?
That's a great question. So first of all, it's proclaimed gas biz guy. Okay. So I labeled myself, but there's actually a little backstory to that. But primarily I got it by birthright. Okay. So I was born into this industry. Our family owned a gas station and our whole family worked there, had four uncles who had gas stations. And it was just, you know, when you did the family get togethers, anything you did, we could, that's how we all had a common theme between all of us. And so we could all relate. We could talk about the experiences we're having at each other's stores. And one of my uncle's stores, his was down the road. And this is where the gas biz name actually even comes from. So I'm not going to say I had a favorite uncle, but I had one uncle who really believed in me, even though I was a high school dropout. He was my Uncle Mike, and he had a store just a couple of miles down the road, and he was the coolest dude. He had always had cool cars. You know, he was funny, and he smoked cigarettes like crazy. But anyway, one of his license plates on one of his Corvettes was Gas Biz. Okay. And so I was just always enamored. Every time you went to it, it was like he was the king because he had the gas biz tag on his car. And so he passed away 10-ish years ago. And when he passed away, nobody claimed that license plate. Okay. So one day I went into the tag office and said, hey, you know, I want to get a custom tag for my Jeep. I said, can I get this tag? And they looked it up and, wink, wink, nod, nod. It wasn't supposed to get out of the system yet. They gave it to me. And so that is now on the back of my Jeep. So that's how I gave myself the name Gas Biz. I'm not the creative. I stole it from my Uncle Mike. But that's how I just grew up in it. I was the whole family was in it. And I was a full-serve gas attendant as a kid all through my teenage years and just kind of kept with it until, you know, here we are. Actually how that even goes back even a little bit further, I'm not to try to bore you guys, but my dad put us in a car. My mom and dad were living in Florida, put us in a car when I was 1 year old and drove up to Atlanta to open their first gas station. So I've been it's been paying the bills in our family for 50 years straight.
Amazing. So how do you think Uncle Mike would feel about you having that plate?
He would be the only person he may be more happy to have that would be his own son. But next to him, he would want it to go to me. But I think with all the respect I'm giving, I think he'd be proud.
Yeah, now it's on Adulting is Easy. So, I mean, it really, this is the peak of
look,
that,
Mom,
sure.
We made it. Okay, we made it.
Okay, so Gas Biz, how many different kinds of businesses really is that? It's not just running a gas station, right? Like there's so much more to it than that.
So what I do, you have three main components. You have upstream, downstream, and midstream. Okay, so upstream is like the refiners. Midstream would be kind of the supply chain, and then downstream would be, you know, from when it leaves that fuel terminal into the end user, to the gas station, to the end user. Everything I do is downstream. Okay, so just I can really speak to that the best. And what we do is what I've been involved with. I've been the cashier. I have operated stores and run them. I have also within that you may want to be a developer. I've been renovating them. I'll take old gas stations, put some lipstick on them, and then sell them. And then there could be a fuel supplier, which is, if you own a gas station, you can't just pull a truck up over there and load at the terminal and get the gas and bring it to your store. You have to buy it from a distributor. And so then the distributor was actually who I was for a long time. And I sold that business in 2016, my fuel distribution, and I do what's called exclusively fuel hauling now. So I would be categorized as a common carrier. And so all I do is I get the gas from the fuel suppliers and I bring it to the gas station. So I'm like if you Uber for gas, if you will. Okay. So that's what we do. So those are really your components. You got your retailers, your wholesalers, and and not to give you too much overlap on it and confuse everybody, but I'm going to keep it kind of 101. You also have fuel distributors who are also retailers and common, not common carriers, but carriers. And so we all, there's no one single method. We're all kind of figured out our model that works best for us. But those are the main pieces.
So you were born into the gas business. Does that mean that you think you were born an entrepreneur?
I don't know. I thought I was born an entrepreneur, but my resume proves that I was. Okay. I like you mentioned at the very beginning, I did not complete high school. I wish I had. There should be, they put you in a box a lot of times, and this is the way you're going to learn. And this is the program that we need you to adhere to. And I couldn't get it. Okay. I didn't understand what I was looking at. And since there was really no other path, I said, well, I can't complete this. Like, I can't finish. I can't do it. And, I don't know if it's ADD. And I know I do have ADD, but I don't know if it's something else in addition to that or some other learning disability. And, I hope one day that I can be successful enough that I can help change some of that or be influential enough that I can help change some of that. Because, right now, not to get too far off topic, we sit here today, one of the biggest crises we have right now is housing. Okay. But why do we have, what's one reason why we have a big problem with housing? And well, there's no one really to, we don't have enough people to do the work, or maybe we can't get things zoned. And like, why aren't we solving that problem? Meanwhile, we got people over here saying, hey, we have too many real estate agents, or we have too many people selling insurance, or whatever it is. And you're going like, why don't we do more of that? So that's my own personal belief on that. Here's what I'll say to that though. And this is important because, it's easy to get down on yourself and paint it as you're a certain kind of get categorized or titled or labeled. Even though you may not be good at this, okay, the way I liken it is to like Ray Charles or Stevie Wonder. They couldn't see, but boy, what a gift they had to play music. And maybe the guy who can't hear, maybe his sense of touch is better. And that is the thing, that I feel like was happened to me. I was maybe not real proficient in a lot of things that were considered, core classes, but I was really good at some other things. Okay. And I think it's going to be applicable to what we're talking about if we get into some personal financing and investing things where you'll see where that actually makes sense and we can actually make this whole thing, close a loop where everybody sees where we're going with it.
Yeah, so I want to talk about your personal finances and being an entrepreneur. A lot of entrepreneurs, they own their businesses and their personal finances are so tied up in that business. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That is the hardest thing. Okay. If you have a W-2 job, you get done, you get at the end of the week, you have $2,000. You can easily say, this is going to go A, B, C. When you're an entrepreneur or you're in business for yourself, it takes a great deal of discipline. And so you're going to find yourself wanting to commingle your personal money and your business money. You can do that. You can take all the money out of your business, but that's then you've got yourself a job. And it may be a great paying job. And it may be something that, you're really living a lifestyle you want to have. And if that's what you want to do, more power to you. But that is not to me, there's more to it than that. So if you're responsible with that money, I tell you what, I read a great book years ago, and it was about like an envelope system. And you couldn't, if you couldn't, if maybe managing money wasn't your skill set, because you're managing inventory. And then you got property taxes due at the end of the year. And then you've got income taxes, and then you've got payroll taxes. And then you've got, all these different things coming at you hard and fast. And when you're an entrepreneur, you ever seen that commercial guy sitting in the chair and his hair's blowing back and he's got his sunglasses on? I don't know, maybe before your time, but you're trying to hang on as an entrepreneur, trying to maybe do more things than you're really great at. So, you've really, it's not, for me, I'm unhirable, and so because I'm not a great employee, as folks at McDonald's, Winn-Dixie, McDonald's, all these people told me, like, hey, you can't work here. You're an awful employee. So you need to really. So for me, I guess what I would say to all that is you need to really handle your business, and you need to make your business number one. And you may need $5,000 a week to live on, but if you're only making two, you need to change your lifestyle.
Was there ever a moment where that happened to you where you realized, like, oh man, like personal finance side is not going great right now?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it happened to me for sure. I went bankrupt. I didn't go bankrupt because I didn't, listen, I didn't have enough money to go bankrupt because I couldn't even go to the attorney and give him the money. Now, somebody would say, well, you paid your electric bill or you paid this. And yeah, I guess I could have. And it's like right when I mean, I had three properties foreclosed on. Okay.
Yeah.
And I, as a man, look, there's going to be a couple of things that are going to go through this conversation that people are going to agree with and most will disagree with. So I did not share finances with my wife. I was in business for myself. I ran the business. She had a family business and they ran theirs. So if I'm out buying property and she's out buying sofas, I was like, don't worry about me buying property. I'm not going to worry about you buying sofas, because she was doing furniture, or you're buying plants, or you're doing whatever. I said, so why, like, we just really got comfortable with that. And so I kept all this from her. Okay. When things were, when things were going good, we were all loving it. And when they went bad, I didn't, I couldn't adjust. And so she didn't know that things were going bad until the mortgage company put a note on our door. And so that's when the reality hit that, hey, Chris, like, what's going on here? Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I'll get it caught up, and I'm on the phone with the mortgage company. I kind of get it, because what'll happen in personal finance is this. And if, especially if you're in business, you can get access to a lot of big lines of credit. You're going to spend your personal money, and then you're going to spend your savings, and then you're going to push out your credit lines. And then you're going to go from pushing out your credit lines to then you're going to, once you max them out, then you're going to be light on them. So this doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
And you
That's what I
always
was going
think
to
that you're going to
say.
cover the next one.
Well, that's what I was going to say too about in terms of not speaking with your wife about the finances. She's running her business, you're running your business. And I think it probably happened just like a little bit at a time. And you're like, it's hard to draw the line of, okay, at what point do I bring this up? Right. Like, it wasn't here. It wasn't here. It wasn't here. Like, where I could totally see how that could happen. We're like, oh, in hindsight, I probably should have brought this up sooner, but I didn't know we were getting to this point.
Well, I think we may have talked about this before. So the year I got into business for myself was 1995. And so I experienced the dot-com run-up.
Right.
And so we were making a ton of money. And I lost a lot of money at the end, but it was really lost gains. It wasn't, I didn't
Right.
go in the hole from, being leveraged or any of that sort of stuff. And I was still doing business and everybody was buying gas and groceries. And so business was fine. But in 08, I had never experienced anything like that. All I had had was good times. I didn't know the good times were the good times. I thought this is,
Right.
these are the times. Like, this
You
is what,
know.
this is like, this is going to be for the rest of my life, correct? Like, I mean, this is America. Like, this is the way we roll. The S&P only goes up 8% a year. And, like, what was, it was, this is automatic, like, what, I didn't know any difference. So I never experienced that. And one thing I made a big mistake on is I sold fuel to contractors because we had the big housing boom. And so I would sell one part of my business was we would supply the gas to the guys who were moving earth and all that sort of stuff. Well, guess what happened to them? They weren't getting paid by their contractors. They burned up all of my diesel fuel, and guess who didn't get paid? Okay. And so then you don't find out until later, because it's not COD. You don't collect when you put the
Right.
nozzle in there.
No.
You're giving everybody 30-day terms and you're okay with that because
Of
everything's
course.
been fine for the last 10 years, like, and all your competitors are doing it. So yeah, of course you're giving him 30-day terms. And
Yeah.
then you don't find out, and then you know, Shell and Chevron and Exxon, they don't want to hear it. Like, well, we're here for the money, you know, and they just draft your account. So that's what happened with that. So yes, it didn't, it was not a, I woke up one morning and it was like, oh crap. No, it's like you just thought the next day. I mean, if you found someone who's a gambler, okay, somebody who's
Yeah.
like, well, I'm going to get it on the next pull of the slot machine, or I'm going to get it on the next hand of blackjack, or I'm going to, and it just doesn't work that way.
So you went from, okay, bankrupt, but we can discuss terminology about that. I guess we could fight about it,
Yeah,
but
I was
you went
worse than
bait.
bankrupt.
I mean, basically bankrupt in 2008 to able to retire 8 years later in 2016. Was that a product of the economy turning around, or like what did you do?
There was a couple of things going on. So I had, at the time when everything was coming unglued in 08, I basically had three things going. I had a gas station that was in forbearance, and it was in forbearance, and they wouldn't foreclose only because I had environmental issues. And the bank didn't want that on their balance
They didn't
sheet.
want to own it. Wow.
So what I was able to do is I was able to run that, not pay them, okay, because they wouldn't foreclose on, and then they accrued all the interest until things got good, and then I could sell it, and I walked out with $20,000. Okay, so that happened one. Okay, yeah, I mean that's all I had, but it
Okay.
was like,
20,000. That's I'm not getting to retirement here just yet with the
That's, so that was going on.
20,000.
I had my fuel distribution business, but remember, all the contractors were going bankrupt. Okay. So that's like corn through a goose. I mean, the money was just, you're like, what happened to the money? And then I had a third thing, which is my first gas station, which is the first one I ever purchased. I had that going, but I was in a partnership where I was a 25% partner, but I wasn't working. And it, for 10 years, it was a very robust location. It was the best location. I haven't found one during that period of time that I couldn't find one even close to the numbers we were doing. But the whole neighborhood changed from a neighborhood that was, it got regentrified. So my cash cow went to nothing. I wasn't getting paid out of there. And my fuel distribution business was losing money like crazy. And I was, again, I was a third of a partner in that one. I owned 33%. So what happened is I sold that store, got my 20 grand. So now I got my mortgage again. Yeah, I got my mortgage money, you know, get them off my back for another 30 days. And like a dumbass, I went on vacation, right? So I took, you know, I got 20,000 bucks and I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, let's go on vacation. That was smart, right? So go on vacation. And while during that moment, I was driving down the street one day and there was this gas station. And I was like, I want to buy that gas station. I have no money. Okay. Like, I have no money. And it was a small chain. So I write them a letter. I was like, hey, I want to buy your gas station. And they like a week later, they call me back and it's the president of the company. He goes, hey, listen, our founder just passed away last week. Okay. Our founder just passed away and we need to sell these to settle his estate. I was like, absolutely. Like, I'm here. I'm sorry to hear that, first of all, my condolences, but I'm here to help. You know, what can I do? He's like, well, you can buy them from us. I was like, sure. What's the deal? He goes, make me an offer. So I offered him $5.5 million. Okay, remember I started with 20, okay? And I went on vacation and I paid my mortgage. I got like $5,000. Okay, like I got no money,
This is like
and that's more.
0.001% or
I
something.
have nothing to do here. So I get on. This is where I try to let people know as quickly as things go bad, they can go good. So I'm like, okay, well, we got to figure this out. So I went to a neighbor, and I was like, hey, you always said you wanted to do business with me because on the outside everybody thinks I'm fine. They're like, oh yeah, Chris
Yeah.
is amazing. You know, he's absolutely kicking ass. And then I went to my dad and I was like, hey, dad, you want to do an investment with me? $25,000, you know, I'll get you in the door. So I come up with $50,000 for earnest money. Well, then I went out and I was like, okay, I got these 50,000. I knew the values of what I was doing. And I started going out and assigning my contracts to different parties. And I made a lot of money when I walked away from that deal. Okay, I made a lot of money. But the magic to it was, during all of this, the business is losing money. The distributors losing money like crazy. That third partner, he goes, I got to get out. I don't make any money. Like, we can't pay. I can't pay myself. And I was like, all right, sign your stuff over to me. And there's actually a quick important piece in there. When I went on that vacation with that 20 grand, he called the third partner. He calls, he says, "Hey, look, we're not making any money here. There's no future in this business." I was like, "Okay, what are we gonna do?" He's like, "Hey, checks are gonna bounce on Monday. We can't cover our drafts." I'm like, "Oh, crap, what are we gonna do?" So I said, "Don't do anything. I'll be back Sunday." I get back Sunday. I go through the books. I go to the partner. I was like, "Hey, what do you want to do?" And he goes, "I just want out." And I was like, "All right, sign your ownership over to me and the other third partner, Randy." He signs it over to us. We take it. I have that deal going on with the five stores. Well, now what happened is I sold all those and flipped them all and made a bunch of money. And then I also got I tied them into buying. They had to buy their gas for me. So what happened is now all of a sudden I had no money. I couldn't buy this real estate. So I flipped the stores, get the money, and now they got to buy their gas for me. So that business went from losing money to now being a cash cow like that. But it
And you
was,
went
but
from, and you went from 33% to 50% also at the same time.
I went from 33 to 50. So
Yeah.
from 33 to 50, and now we started making money. Okay. And so now I'm like, okay, now we're making money, but I still got all these other things out here. I had three properties foreclosed on me, and I'm trying to negotiate with banks, and I'm trying to do, I got all these things kind of going on in my world. So once I got that through my head, I was like, okay, this is going to be my model. I'm going to go out. I'm going to find gas stations for sale. I'm going to get in the middle. I'm going to sell them to a third party, and I'm going to tie them to a supply agreement where they got to buy their fuel for me. And I built that from basically 15 stores to over 100 stores.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that's how I did it. It was all hustle. I mean, it was just there was no other thing about it. And I was, I may do a deal and I may make $5,000. I mean, relatively, that was nothing for the risk that was involved. But I'm going to sell them gas, and I got an annuity, so they have to contractually buy their gas from me for 10 years, sometimes 20.
Wow,
And
that's so
then,
smart.
what happened is just to kind of fast forward a little bit. In 20 it was either I want to say it was 2013 or 2011. Let's say it was 2011. The other partner I had, my 50% partner at that time, he wanted to retire. So I was like, cool, let's do it. Well, I didn't have the money to buy them because it was an expensive transaction. I was like, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to sell off half our portfolio of all these contracts I had accumulated over the years. I was like, I'm going to sell half of them. Now I'm 100% owner. Okay. So I sold half, took my partner out, but I was good at what I did. And so I just kept it, picked up where I left off, and I was like, all right, I started pounding the pavement, and I built it up to, I mean, when I was doing over $100 million a year.
As you're talking about this, I'm obviously imagining like the spinning plates in the air, right? Because you've got, the five, you're under contract on these five stores. You end up flipping those. You've got a few houses under foreclosure. You're probably having some pretty tough conversations with your wife. You've got the distribution situation who's losing money. And like, how do you not, well, I guess you went on vacation. I was like, how do you not like curl into a ball and like just freak out for a while?
You have kids?
No.
Okay. Well, if you have kids, you'll get it. You may not have to have kids. You have a husband.
I have a husband.
And I had to do it for them. I mean, it's just like there's no other,
Right.
there's, I had to, look, back it up a little bit. You want to know what gets real uncomfortable is when your wife goes to the grocery store to buy groceries and it says declined. You want to even get even better. Okay. So, you have a, as a man, you have a provider, maybe I'm old fashioned, but I want to be provider for my family. And so it goes from that to your kids are in private school. You're going, you dumbass. Like you're seeing all the mistakes here. Okay. And I promise you there's somebody listening who's going through similar things. So you go from that. So now your kids are, they're in private school, and then all of a sudden they get in the car, and then your wife calls you and she says, "Hey, the kids didn't get their report cards. Why not?" "Oh, tuition. I swear I dropped off the check last week, and I didn't." Okay. So you're going, okay, so now your kid is getting in the car going, like, you know, where's my, why did everybody else? And, you know, they're proud because they got straight A's, you know? And so
Sure.
this was, it was ultimate, man. But I couldn't, like, you know, I'm a fairly spiritual guy, but I just felt like I could not forsake these people who counted on me. You know, just it's not an option. It's not an option. There's no other, you know, I see people who get really hard on themselves and like, that's not an option, man. Like, that's just not. So you have to do it. And I feel like God blessed me for that. And so that's my, not to get in the pulpit on you guys, but that's my sermon. Okay. Like, that's my thing. And I really feel very, passionate about that. And so, you know, people, you know, it's like sausage. You don't ever want to see how it's made. It tastes great, but that's what's going on in my life.
Yeah. So you've turned the business around and you know, with some really, really ingenious contractual work and salesmanship and, you know, a lot of other skills there. So fast forwarding to 2016, why were you like, okay, cool, now I can retire?
I wasn't for sale. So what happens is I'm sitting there in my office and now I've got a reputation. I've built my business up, 100 stores. We've got, I don't own the real estate. And if this is important, I don't want this to get lost from anybody in the conversation. $100 million in the gas business is not a big number. It's not. We have, you know, we're working on 1% margins. I mean, we're not, I'm not sitting over here going, oh yeah, like I'm taking, you know, I'm not the mafia. Yeah, you know, I'm sitting here trying to figure out what I'm gonna do with all the money.
It's $100 million gross. It's not $100 million net.
Yeah, not even close. I mean, it's not even close. So don't get jaded by, yeah, you got this, you know, that's not what happened. It's very small margins. Even at like 50 million, we were barely making any money at 50 million. Okay. So what happened is, say that one more time, 2016. Okay. So 2016, I'm sitting in my office. It's actually 2015. A guy comes and he says, hey, Chris, I want to come over and meet you because I want to get in the business too. And what would happen is, so I was a supplier and then a guy, and you have to have a certain amount of gallons to become a contract with the oil company. A guy who's trying to get in, he goes, hey, I want to buy underneath you until I can get my gallons together. And then I want to have my own deal. Okay. So he would call a sub jobber. Okay.
Okay.
So he's like, hey, I want to get in the business. I want to come see you. I was like, cool, come see me. Well, the guy pulls up in a Maybach. Okay. So he pulls up. Clothes on that I still don't own to this day. Beautiful clothes. And yeah, he's about 30 years old. Guy from India, and he's got his attorney with him. And so we're talking, we're having a great conversation. And finally, there's just like this awkward pregnant pause. And he goes, we just want to buy you, man. And I was like, well, I'm not for sale. And he says, man, look, everybody's got a number. And I was like, all right, give me X. Dude stands up, shakes my hand. He says, deal. I was like, well, you haven't looked at any paperwork. He goes, we just know you. We know your reputation. Whatever you say it is, that's what it is. We're cool with it. And I was like, okay. So I agreed to, and in what I was doing, I had three things going on. I had my fuel hauling business, common carrier, my oil business where I sold the gas to the gas stations, and then I owned real estate. I had three very distinct things going on. So I agreed to sell him the oil part where I would sell the gas to the gas stations, my contracts. That was very valuable, very lucrative. I said, I'll sell you that. But that was all the work. Otherwise, you're just getting real estate. And then the fuel hauling was, I had people who worked for me and I wouldn't sell that part because those people were all loyal to me. And I wouldn't, that's one part I was like, look, you guys, I made a deal with two young guys. So backing up to the story, he goes, yeah, let's make a deal. We struck a deal. We shook on it. I honored that handshake. I did not sign the contract with him till the day we closed. I was like, dude, if you want to, and I said, I'm not going to sign a contract with you. I said, because first of all, a couple of things are going to happen. If somebody comes to me and says that I'm under contract to sell, I'm going to say, you're a liar. Okay. Number one, because I didn't want my word to get out and ruin my business because I didn't know these guys well enough to know if they would do it, if they would perform. The second thing I said, I'm not going to spend a bunch of money litigating a purchase and sale agreement. I'm not going to do it. If you want to buy it, here it is. Okay. And it is, you know, people probably are not going to believe it, but I'm telling you, that's what happened. I'm telling you, God is my witness. I did not sign. We did not. We shook on it. We went. Then he took his few months of due diligence. Then we got to the closing table. But in there, the fuel hauling business, I just hired a guy, real young kid, bright guy, and I had made a deal. I was like, look, I can't like let you guys go after coming to work for me. Like, you came here because of me. Okay. I'm not gonna put you out on the street and say, hey, here's your new owner. And so I just went to the two guys. It was Chris, his name was Chris and Cosman. And I said, hey, look, here's the deal. As long as we make money, you guys run it. I'll come up here just to write checks once a week or every couple of weeks. I'll come up. And that's what we did. So we just had this little fuel hauling business, 10 trucks, just kind of, just being of service, nothing. We weren't world beaters, making a few hundred thousand a year. The business may have been making like 200,000 a year or something. It wasn't making a lot of money. And so I said, you guys run it. As long as it makes money, we got a job. Well, one of them, Chris, he got engaged to get married to a doctor. And I was like, okay, well, it's been nice, man. It's been real. You're marrying a doctor. You don't want this job anymore. And he resigned. And so Cosmo was left running it. Then in 2019, I went from barely working, but I had built a great real estate portfolio now because I had taken the money from selling my oil company, started buying real estate. Okay. And that was going great. So I had all this passive income coming in now, and I was like, I'm living great, but COVID hits. And I'm sitting there, and I really have two choices to make. I can either throw in the towel because everybody quit driving, the world's coming to an end. And I had the best plan in the world. Okay. I had real estate income, I had dividend, a big dividend income. I was in the gas business. Everybody needs gas, it'll never go away. Okay, until we all got locked in our house and all the dividend stocks crashed and nobody could pay rent. Okay, so it's like even the best plans are great, until they're not. And
Were
so
you
all
like,
that,
hearkening back to 2008? Like, oh God, here we go again.
I'll never forget. My wife walks in the door and I'm white as a sheet, and she's like, "What happened?" And I was like, "The world's ending, nobody's paying rent, and da 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 da, and I." I'm very conservative now. I put money in the bank and I got enough money set aside where I'm not worried about the day to day now or at that time. So everything falls apart and I'm watching the news and they're like, hey, there's world's ending, whatever. And I was like, I really feel like I need to get involved again. I just felt like this like thing on me, like, hey, you really need to get back involved because like the world needs you. And then maybe this is like a hyper I don't know what the right word, but maybe I have a larger opinion of myself than I should at that time. But I was like, man, they need me in town. I'm an Atlanta guy. I only do things in Atlanta. That's it. I won't go. You can have the best opportunity in Boston, Massachusetts, New York, LA. I don't want it. Like, I'm Atlanta. I'm only Atlanta. That's all I want is Atlanta. All the money I need is right here. I don't care. I'm a specialist in Atlanta. And a lot of it's like all the hometown people were like leaning on me. They're like, man, what are we going to do? And so I was like, all right, I'm going to come out. I'm going to come back to work. And so then you see the news. If you recall, there was a huge, it was a national news. There's not enough people to haul gasoline. There's not enough truckers. Stores are running out over here and over here and over here. And I knew what to do. I was like, this is my moment to shine. Like, this is great. And we took our business and we multiplied it like many, 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 many times over. I don't have an actual count on this. I think I'm the largest fuel hauler in the state of Georgia that's independently owned. There are regional players here that are definitely have larger fleets, but I believe in Georgia, I think I'm the largest. But that doesn't mean anything. It's just that we do do a very good job. And I'm an Atlanta guy. And I just, I don't know, it's kind of like, I don't know what city you're in. You're in Florida, I believe. They're in Tampa. So it's like, to me, I felt like I owed it to my city to get my city back on track, to my customers to get them on track, to make sure all the people who were counting on me that were worried about, can we pay our bills? Can we and we put it together, man. We killed it.
So you've gone through, I mean, two really, what's the word? Like frothy, like crazy, scary, like two
Three.
basically like downturns. Three? Okay.
For
Oh
don't
yeah,
forget the
because
dot com bug. It
because
was
of
the
the
dot
dot com.
com.
Okay. Yes. So you've been through these three different downturns, right? I, at the age of 34, I mean, I went through the COVID one, but I own some stocks and stuff, but from my very little real estate at the time, had some stocks. Obviously that went down, but it was like, okay, it was like a blip, right? A lot of people around my age and younger than me, of course, I've never really seen a downturn like you've seen and not been heavily invested before it and had like this plan and then seen kind of the rug get pulled up from under them. So I was wondering what advice you have for young people who think this is just the way it is.
Okay, I like this. And this is my philosophy and mine own. Remember back when I went broke, what happened is the banks fired me. And the banks basically said, hey, you know, you're not bankable. We don't want to deal with you. Well, I got to continue to do business. Like and this is why I'm fiercely independent. Okay, like hyper independent. I was like, okay, is that the way it's going to be? Let's do it. So I've gotten to the position and say what you want to about the guy. Okay. You can agree. You can disagree. I don't care. I followed Dave Ramsey's program. I went to it and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I went and bought a $2,000 pickup truck. I'm living in this is 2010. I'm driving a $2,000 pickup truck, living in a $600,000 house. Like those two don't, it's usually the other way around. I got a $100,000 car and I live in an apartment, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I made it a goal to get my house paid off. And everybody's going to say, I got 2%, you know, loans. And okay, cool. You know what? Right now the world can melt. I don't care. My home is paid for. I don't care. Okay. Like that was my goal. I want my home paid for. So when I hear, and again, I'm not throwing shade at anyone. And I don't know what I don't even know what your belief is. And I'm speaking from my heart. Okay. A home is not an asset. Yeah. Let the mortgage company put a note on your door. You just tell me. Okay. And you can say whatever you want to. You're not convincing me otherwise. I can tell you this much. We could go to the Cold War and everything, go to, you know, throw nukes over there in Europe. I'm not even like, I don't break stride. I don't even think about it. My home is paid for. My cars are paid for. And I made sure I had enough money in the bank that no matter what, we can go out and we can put food on the table. I'm not a prepper, you know, I don't have a bunker and, you know, rainwater buckets and all. I don't do all that. Like I made sure that I got my affairs in order. And there's some simple things you can do. You know, if you're a business guy, there's a quick ratio. The quick ratio basically is your debts and your liabilities. And you know, you put that in there and how much cash do you have on hand to cover those things? And buddy, you don't want to be on the low end of that. Yeah. You need to be on the high end of that. Because when you make money is in downturns. Okay. I don't want to be buying up here. Always remember everything reverts to the mean. It just does. Okay. So we're sitting up here. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I've been on this planet long enough to know everything is going to revert to the mean. And it's not going to happen on your time. It's going to happen when it's time. You're not smarter than the market. Cash is king. And you need to have some money in your pocket. And now my brother, who's done very well, he's never made much money. He's fully invested all the time. He rents an apartment. He became a homeowner, I think, for the first time when he was maybe 48. Okay. He lived in rentals. I think he had one home he owned for a condo for a short period of time. And then, but he has been a renter. He's done unbelievable. You know, he just kept his stuff in there. He's like, hey, you know, keep on putting it in, and it's just been very systematic and consistent. And this is where I get to, and I don't know if I'm getting ahead of anything you want to ask me here, but this is what I would say. If I want to lose weight, I can go to the bookstore. I can buy one on the South Beach diet. I can buy Jenny Craig's book. I can buy the Mediterranean diet. I can buy any one of them. Every one of those will work and I'll lose weight with every one of them. I could also do the same with personal finance. You have to find the one that you can stick to and you believe in and go with. If it was me, I can tell you, hey, this guy, you know, because you know, I may be a turnoff to some folks who are saying, no, this guy just, you know, he can't relate. But I can relate. Okay. Trust me, I've been at all stages of it. And what the people I see, they're consistent and you make your job, that's your cash. That's how you make money. This is where we're going to get. You know, this pays the bills. I'm going to take this money. I'm going to invest that money. I'm going to put it in stocks or I'm going to put it in real estate. I'm going to put it in crypto, whatever it is you like. Okay. And pick up the cookbook that you like, that you have the appetite for, that you can stick with, not the one that your neighbor has or took Ozempic or whatever, and it's just some like find the one that sticks with you and go with it. Like it don't overcomplicate it. And then you go back because you're, 20 years younger than me or 15, and you're going to be up here too, and you're going to be doing the exact same thing. And you're going, yeah, this is, it's not magic. It's common freaking sense.
Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
I think that if I'm going to say anything on that, that's actually my testimony is that was that at the very end, which is like, listen, if you're going to do something, don't overcomplicate this. Don't try to outsmart yourself. Be disciplined. I know you get tired of hearing it. There is no silver bullet. There is no, I mean, everybody didn't buy NVIDIA options, 5 years ago. And, some people did. Some people bought some Tesla. Some, they're doing great. But, I know a lot of dumb people who are very, very wealthy. So that is all I really got for you. I thank you very much. I hope you got any other questions for me. I probably got a little long-winded on you, but if you got anything else, I'm happy to talk about it.
Well, tell people how they can get in touch with you and follow you.
Oh yeah, if you want to, I have a little bit different kind of feed than you're going to find on from a lot of people. We got takes anywhere from life to I don't take anything too serious in life. I just really try to enjoy myself. But I'm at gas_biz. I've got probably more imposters than any other account on Twitter, except for maybe second to Elon Musk. But there's going to be one who says gas biz guy. It doesn't have the blue check, but he's got my blue check in his profile. But gas_biz, BIZ, that's me. I'd love to have you. I engage with everybody for the most part. So it's not one of those accounts where you're going to get in there and reply and you're not going to hear back. I think if you take the time to respond to me, I'm going to do my best. Unless it's one of those things, it's just like 300 or 400 comments. I can't get back to them all. But if it's something that, we're all in there, I love it. I'm all about it. So anyway, that's all I got for you.
All right, guys, follow me on Twitter X, also at Adulting Is Easy, Instagram at Adulting Is Easy Reel. This will also be on YouTube at Adulting Is Easy. If you like this episode, you also like episode 140. There's more than one way to be an entrepreneur. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Hopefully, Chris and I have made adulting a little easier for you.